Amen. Okay, good. It's going there. It's getting there. Thank you. Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 14. Accept greetings from Nigeria, from the brethren in Nigeria. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. You know, this is our year of expansion. Amen. It's our year of expansion. So today I'll be talking about give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me, tell your neighbor, give me this mountain. I am here to take the mountain. Isn't it interesting that sometimes God will want to expand you, but he will give you a mountain? What he will give you will be challenges. What he will throw your way is opportunities that are filled with challenges. But yet that is your place of expansion. Tell your neighbor, give me this mountain. Joshua chapter number 14, Joshua chapter 14 beginning from verse number 6, Joshua chapter 14 beginning from verse number 6. As a congregation and as a church, God has called us and has spoken to us to say this is a year of expansion. And I told you, I read for you passages of scripture where God will be expanding us. Expand to the left, to the right. He will enlarge you on different ways. Today we're having a baby shower. As the mother, she's been expanded. But that is, if you ask her, she will tell you that her body has not been normal. It's been a challenge. It's been a stretch. But a joyful stretch nonetheless. Hallelujah. Bible says in Joshua chapter 14 from verse number 6, it says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me met the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. If you love the Bible that you have and it is yours, underline that word, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. My God. Hallelujah. Verse number 10. And now, somebody say now. Behold, the Lord has kept me alive. If you love your Bible again, underline the word kept me alive. Behold, the Lord has kept me alive as he said. These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Underline that word, highlight that word, 85 years old. I don't think there is anybody here who is 70 years old. Talk less of 80, talk years of 85. Verse number 11. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war. My strength for what? For war. Both for going out and for coming in. Verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain. You see, that's where your pastor took it. I'm not too smart. I just look for scripture. And I give you the topic of the message. Give me this mountain. Hallelujah. I'm smart to follow the scripture. It says, now therefore do what? Give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. Which mountain? The one which the Lord spoke. What has God told you? What are the challenges that you face? Are you embracing them? He says, now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. If you love your Bible, underline the word as the Lord said. As the Lord said. Let me tell you this, it's a year of expansion. And you must desire and believe God and trust Him for a godly ambition. You must have a plan in your life as a person that you are sold out for God, that you are embedded in the plan of God for your life, interested, invested in God's plan for your life, for the earth, for this church, and for the cities, the people around you. You must be. Are you hearing me, somebody? Joshua said, give me this mountain. But the mountain was not just a free mountain open. It was a mountain that was occupied by the Anakim, by the giants. He said, give it to me at 85 and I will drive them out. This is our year of expansion. What is your plan? What is your mountain? What are the challenges that you face? What are the things that you want to encounter for the Lord, that you want to do for God this year? What mountain have you embraced? Expansion don't come easy. The Lord has spoken. You have believed it. You've got to do something about it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You know, we read from the Old Testament, right? Let's go to the New Testament. For those of you who Old Testament and New Testament have a problem, let's marry them. The old is a shadow of the new. And the new is the reflection of the old. I am a believer in scripture from old to new testament. Hallelujah. Amen. Now there are things in the Old Testament that are not valid for us today. They were just types and shadows. So that when the real comes, you will stop chasing the shadow. It is like I see Mama here sitting, and instead of me greeting her, I go to greet her shadow. The shadow can lead me to her. I will not discard the shadow. If I see the shadow, I will follow. Are you hearing me, somebody? But when I meet the real person, I will embrace them and not discard the shadow. Are you hearing me, somebody? So let's go to the New Testament and see something there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, beginning from verse number 1. And as we go there, I want you to understand this. The book of Joshua is not just talking about some people. It was the type and the shadow of Christianity. It was talking about living the victorious Christian life. Because the children of Israel are a type and a shadow of our Christian life. God took them out of Egypt and took them through the wilderness, took them through the Red Sea for baptism. And then they walked under the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud by day and by night. It was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit under the presence of the Holy Spirit. He was taking them to a place, a land flowing with milk and honey. The same way like He took you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. So while they were in the land flowing with milk and honey, there were still mountains in that land to be conquered. God has brought you into Christianity. There are still things that you have to conquer. There are still territories to be conquered. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Beginning from verse number 1. You know, if you've been told a lie that when you come to Christ, everything, you just become a sissy. You just pray and all of a sudden God just magically does everything. You do nothing. It's a lie. There is still mountains you have to conquer. Hallelujah. Didn't you hear that you are more than a conqueror? Jesus has conquered. You are there to enforce the victory that has been won for you and I. Tell somebody, I'm an overcomer. No, don't just speak to yourself. Tell your neighbor, I am an overcomer. Okay, let me ask you a question now. What are you overcoming? How can you be an overcomer if there is nothing, no obstacle? I am an overcomer. There are things you have to overcome. Hallelujah. You are guaranteed at the end of it that you are a winner. You are a victor. You are not trying to overcome. You are an overcomer. You are not trying to be a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. The one who conquers has conquered and given us the right and the privilege to begin to expand, to enlarge, to take over new territory. And we are doing so this year. I say you are doing so this year. Oh, you don't believe me. That's why your amen is lame. I say you are overcoming, expanding, enlarging on every corner this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse number 1 says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, to be ignorant, to be unaware, to be naive, that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into the sea, into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. I was in Nigeria recently. I was talking because we're talking about the first principles. I was talking to them about the doctrine of Christ. Because you can preach a lot of things from the Bible and not preach Christ. Are you hearing me? There are a lot of stories in the Bible that we can talk about. Bible stories. We can motivate you with it. If until you encounter Christ, your life has not begun. He says, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock was who? Christ. What are you drinking of? Are you drinking of Christ? Hallelujah. They drank. See what it says in verse 5. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. With most of them, God was not well pleased. There's some false belief, some false notion that God is like a genie. A magician just works everything for you. Let me tell you, these miracles is not the evidence that God is with you. Oh, there are magicians who do miracles. Just because you got a breakthrough doesn't mean that God is with you. Are you hearing me? Somebody, am I talking to somebody today? I'm talking to, just because you have gotten a job, there are people who get jobs without praying. So if your Christianity with God is about what he does for you, you have not begun. If your passion for God, because some people are reactionary, they can't take mountains because they are feel Christian. When God gives them a promise, they are excited. They make pledges. They don't keep it. Because the excitement wanes down. And then the mountain becomes a big thing for them. They start crying. Their favorite scriptures are the ones where they say, what will people say? Where is my God? They cry. They become emotional. Oh God, do this for me. Don't let my people mock me. God is not mocked. See, the Bible said, but with most of them, they ate spiritual food. They drank spiritual food. They were baptized under the cloud. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Verse number 6. We're going somewhere for this. Now these things became our. These things became what? Our examples. So Caleb is an example for us. All the other people around with Caleb, they became our examples. When Caleb was saying, give me this mountain, there were 10 other people who had decided that the mountains were too big and they had died. You are going to decide this year how you expand. You are going to decide this year how you become part of what God is doing. Now these became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. Because you see, when we say the year of enlargement and expansion, people, the thing is just about them expanding for you. It's not just for you. Amen. I said for the kingdom. Say something for the kingdom. Yes, for the kingdom. God is not a magic genie to solve all your problems just so that you can be you and you can show everybody you're a superstar. No. It's for the kingdom. When God delivers you, he delivers you that you may be available to him. When God heals you, he heals you that you may be strong for him. When God provides for you, he provides that you may be a channel for him. Didn't you know the madman at Gadara, when he encountered Jesus and he was healed of demons, he was rid of demons. You know what he said? I will follow you. Did you hear about the woman at the well who encountered Jesus? She had been married so much that every man in town knew her. Everybody in town knew her story. When she encountered Jesus and a prophetic word was given to her, what did she say? She went to the city, said, come and meet a man who told me all about me. Come and meet a man. It is not just one today when we now just come, oh, praise the Lord. God has done great things for me. We go shelve ourselves and sit in our homes. Begin to wait for the next week. Tell somebody, give me this mountain. If you don't believe it, I know I'm preaching good. It's a good word. Good word. Good word. Give me this mountain. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. There were no shopping malls in the wilderness when God... Let me tell you this. If you're a greedy person, no matter what God does for you, you will still be greedy. There are people whose hands are strong like this. They will make... Lord, if you just give me this job, your work will never suffer. As he gives you... You see, you know, we're in America. It's a place of dreams. You now start seeing the bigger thing you need to dream for. You know, Lord, I just need to buy, I just need to get, take care of this house, take care of this, take care of this, you know, my kind of ride. No matter what God does for you, I want you, that's why. Give me this mountain. We're going somewhere with this. You will overcome this mountain. Hallelujah. Now these things became for us as our example that we should not lust after evil things like they also lust in verse 7. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. Let me ask you a question. How did they become idolaters? The gold, the silver, the things which God had blessed them with. The things which God had freely given to them. The wealth that God had freely transferred to them for the purpose of his kingdom. They turned it into the golden calf. They turned it into images where they began to worship. And I wonder if some of us, the things that God has really blessed us with, we've turned them now, we've become principalities ourselves. Where for God to get you to do something, it needs prayers, 40 days of praying and fasting. 40 days of praying and fasting before you can be free a little bit. It needs a sermon, a message. It needs a guest speaker to come and hammer it. You see, I'm telling you what I know. I've seen people that bring guest speakers because why? The church is not doing what they should be doing. They will bring guest speakers to come tell you, build up for 5 days. Just to get you to do what you should be doing. Give me this mountain. And do not become idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down. They did what? They sat down. Why do you sit down when you are comfortable? They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Some people are playing now. Some people are playing now. Rose up to play. Verse 8. Now let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, now see this. We have a lot of young people in this house. But sexual immorality is not a lot for young people. Even old people. Some people are sexual perverts. Deviant. Even some people are married. If you are a pervert, marriage doesn't solve the problem. Are you hearing me, somebody? Now let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day. 23,000 fell. In what? One day. 23,000. Not 23. Not 230. Not 2,300. 23,000 in one day. it just happened for our examples. Are you saying that? Yeah. Let's move on a little. Let's move on. Verse 9. Now let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain. Nor what? Complain. This Pastor Blaise and all his preaching, these churches, all they are saying, he's talking about money now, you know, because he knows my soul. Don't complain. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Complaining. These ones, they were not sexually immoral. They were just complainers. Grumblers. Nor complain, as some of them were also. Nor complain. Tell your neighbor, don't complain. Do not complain. Don't invite the destroyer. Tell your neighbor, don't invite the destroyer. Face the mountain. Verse number 11. Now all these things, some of them, how many of them? Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. All these things happened to them for our examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Let me say this to you. It's been said, I've heard it said, that if you are not sold out for Christ, you have sold him out. If you are not sold out for God, you have sold him out already. God doesn't want lukewarm Christians. He doesn't want believers who are neither here nor there. They are neither cold nor hot. It is iffy believers. But talk about, give me this mountain. This year will expand. See, expansion is not just God giving you things. It is you also becoming something for God. Your spiritual life will have to expand. Are you hearing me, somebody? I said your spiritual capacity will have to expand. Your devotion, dedication to God will have to expand. The same way you desire your financial capacity to expand. If it doesn't expand with commensurate expansion in other areas of your life, you will become like one of these. Didn't you hear 3 John 2 say, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So your prosperity should be commensurate all around with your soul. I quote you, I was in Nigeria recently, and when we came to some time for prayers, I saw prayers. Oh, this one, you saw people pray. People are praying with every ounce of energy in their body. And I thank God for that. But there was also a paradox. Because I've seen some people who are believers. They are believing is because they are waiting for what God will do for them. I've also seen people migrated who were on fire for God. They come here. And now they don't need to pray again to get a job. You don't need to pray again now to dress somehow. You don't need to pray again to get money. Then all of a sudden you find out that truly that prayer was conditional prayers. It was prayer because of the suffering that you were facing. Now that you are not suffering, can God still trust you? Am I talking to somebody today? Oh, God will enlarge those who can be dependent upon him. I'll show you something in the Bible. We're talking, Joshua said, "Give me this mountain." Like I told Caleb, we saw it from the scripture. I didn't coin this from somewhere. Give me this mountain. We're talking about people who have the attitude to expand with God. Give me this mountain. Those happened to them for our examples. And it was written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. You know why sometimes you have a bunch of friends around you, you don't care what they do. You don't care whether their life is on fire for God. And sometimes they don't even care. They hang out with you, you hang out. You care about their physical life than you care about their spiritual lives. Sometimes they're not even interested in what you want to say. You know why? Because your believing is optional. Your fire for God is not contagious. Your love for God is not contagious. You have not been defined. You don't stand for anything. You can mingle with them in everything. So they don't see a difference between you and them. They have not seen God use you to overcome mountains. There are challenges in your life, yes. But you can scale them all. Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yes, sir.
Now, we all face different mountains. This is the year of enlargement. You are facing different mountains. Some of you may be legal mountains. Some of you may be financial mountains. Some of you may be moral mountains. Some of it may be family mountains. It may be health mountains. But the way you overcome it will speak to the next person close to you. Are you hearing me, somebody? You can become a murmurer, a complainer. But the way you overcome it will speak to somebody close to you. In this church, we have mountains. We have financial mountains. Oh yes, we have loans on this building. But we are determined that we will make a difference, a change. Oh, we have a mountain here. When we gather here many, we already exceed the capacity. In fact, if the fire department come here sometime, when they will close us down. Please, don't hear it in the camera. So we have a mountain. We need to expand. That again still comes down from financial. So it's both to pay off everything, but also to expand. It's to move to the future. We have children that are being born. We are growing leaps and bounds, whether by birth or by addition. We need to be able to cater to the children. We need to be able to provide adequate facilities for them. It's a mountain. We have a mountain of consistency of membership. Consistency of membership. It's a mountain. That you and I we embrace that mountain and say we will together work to take this mountain. Oh, there are people in the city who are not saved. It is a mountain. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
We have people in our midst who are not settled yet. It is a mountain. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We must ensure that we overcome, take every mountain, drive out everything that doesn't represent God in our midst. We're committed to that part, committed to it. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Let me show you where Caleb and Joshua, they came from. So, you know, the Moses generation was a generation that was just one that was to go to the promised land. Or that was to chart a course to live from Egypt. And when Joshua took over, it was a generation of faith. Moses had a staff in his hand. When he encountered the Red Sea, he broke the Red Sea by stretching out the staff, what was in his hand. And the Red Sea parted. But the Joshua's generation, they didn't have a staff. But they had faith in their heart. They carried the Ark of the Tabernacle. When they came to the Jordan and the Jordan had overflooded its banks, they did not have to wait for the waters to part. The Bible says, let them step their feet inside the water, not knowing whether the water was deep, if they were going to drown. And some of you may be in places where you don't know what is happening, but you need to step out by faith. Are you hearing me, somebody? You need to step out by faith, extend yourself and see God's miracles. If your Christianity is still waiting for the staff and the rod to see miracles, signs, and wonders, you will wait for a long time. That's Moses' generation. You will see when he puts the rod down, it will turn into a serpent and swallow every other thing. Signs and wonders. When he stretches his hand, the Red Sea will part. When Joshua's generation, it was not that. They had to walk on the water. They had put their feet, not knowing whether they drowned. They began to experience God. So let's look at the contrast a little bit, and I'll give you a few points and we'll close. Numbers chapter 13, Moses sent out spies to the land flowing with milk and honey. They had come out of Egypt. The same way like some of you have come out of the world. You've become a believer. You've become born again. You did the first step, became born again. You say, Lord, I love you. And you know, coming out of Egypt, some people, it is because of oppression. Some people got born again because they were being pressed at night. So if getting born again would deliver me from being pressed at night, praise the Lord, I'll do it. But the taste of onion, garlic, leeks is still in their mouth. They will do everything else until when they are pressed, and they say, Lord, I confess. But coming out of Egypt is a good start, but it doesn't end there. Numbers chapter 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and I want you to keep seeing that it was the Lord who spoke. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men. Who said? God said, send men out. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Send men out. Send men out. We're talking about starting fellowship centers. It is the, one of the ways to overcome the mountain that we are having. The mountain of membership growth. The mountain of retention. The mountain of stability. It says, send men out. All of them who were heads of the children of Israel. We've opened up to people who want to lead or people who want to host. Now when you start, it is consistency is the key of it. Send men out. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran. From where the wilderness? You know what happens in the wilderness? Nothing grows. There is drought. It seems like there's stagnation. But yet they were destined for greatness. From the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. So of course you can begin to see the names of all the people. Then we go down to verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in there are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are fortresses or whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and all the names, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them. Just imagine one cluster of grapes. It took two people to carry. You can imagine the kind of grapes. What you have experienced from God so far are flurries of His glory. If you think you have seen God's goodness, it is just, they call it taste. You know when a woman is cooking or when somebody is cooking, a chef, and they are tasting to see if the salt is good enough. Tasting to see if they're just sampling. It's called a sample. They are sampling to see if everything is gelling together. Sometimes some people, when they get samples from God, they just run away from Him. They think that they have gotten the real deal. What you have experienced is sample. Don't become complacent. Don't relegate yourself from God's goodness. Don't remain with little things. Begin to celebrate. Oh, God is good. You have not seen the goodness of the Lord yet. Oh, when God is good, He will overwhelm you with His goodness. Are you hearing me, somebody? I said, when you are committed to God, He will overwhelm you with His goodness. He'll be so good that you'll begin to wonder, what did I do? How could I have? I was watching some videos yesterday. I sent it to some people here. How we started? I was looking at myself. I'm like, Lord, when we moved into this place and where we are today, not because we had too much and not because we had anything better, but the power of consistency. Just being there and say, Lord, I'm sold out for You. If this doesn't work, I fail. If I fail, I fail in Your hands. There is no option. Some of you have too many options to fall back on. Oh, we sold out some of the options a long time ago. When we crossed the river, we cut down the bridge There's no going back. You see, some of you, when you cross the Red Sea, you must decide there is no going back. Are you hearing me, somebody? There's no going back. So the Bible says that they came to the valley of Eshcol. They cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between them. Between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. Verse 24. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They showed them what? The fruit of the land. They brought word to the congregation and they showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." There was evidence of the fact that the land flowed with milk and honey, and they had evidence of the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once." He was not discounting the facts that they were highlighting. You see, God is not telling you to be oblivious. He's not telling you to be blinded or to begin to deny that there are challenges or that the things, the mountains you are seeing are not mountains. Didn't Jesus say, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain? He didn't say, no, the mountain is not there. He said, exercise what I have given you. Faith, exercise it and say to the mountain, exercise it and overcome every challenge, everything that stands in your way. The Christian life is not one to be stagnant. And when I talk about stagnation, I'm not talking about achieving things, material things. No, I'm not talking about that. That is important, but that is still minute because there are people who have achieved things who are not Christians. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm talking about a comprehensive growth in your spirituality. A comprehensive growth in your, yes, even material things. But first, in your relationship with God. Expressed by your relationship with one another. Expressed by your impact in society. The contagiousness of your Christianity. That something about your life can inspire somebody to want to follow God. It is not just a check mark that, oh yes, I belong to God or I go to church. But that there is a reality of your encounter with God. Like I told you in the book of Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John, who were untrained, uneducated, inexperienced, when they appeared before the lawyers, they appeared before the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Bible says that they examined them and they took note that they were untrained and uneducated, yet they noticed that they had been with Christ. They had been with Jesus. There was an impact of Jesus in their lives. It was not a denial that they were untrained or that they were uneducated, but there was something about them that was beyond those things. Give me this mountain. So Joshua, the Bible says, and Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." I want to share with you a few thoughts from scripture why Caleb had this attitude. Number one, he had this attitude because he held on to the communication from God. In Joshua chapter 14, which we read before, and hold your place in Numbers chapter 13, because we'll go to Numbers chapter 14. Remember, everybody gave a bad report. Well, before we go to Joshua chapter 14, let me just read this and finish
we were at verse 30. Then Joshua, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Right? Right, church?
Yes.
Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which we read and said these were for our examples. It was written for our admonishment. This is the attitude you need to have. We're not just talking about Caleb. We're using Caleb as an example, as a shadow of you, the believer. The same way there were other people who were negative. They are shadows of some people in church who always have negative. They always see problems in everything. See what verse 31 says. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able. What are you saying? Are we able or not able? I'm asking you a question. What are you saying? Are you able to be what God says you should be, or you are not able?
I am able.
But the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So they saw their strength as opposed, they saw the strength of the people as opposed to the strength of God at work in them. They said they are stronger than we. But now let me say this to you. When you have a certain negative perception, see how it affects you. Verse 32. And they, for they are stronger than we, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. You see how negative perception is working. Yet they saw inhabitants there. Then they said, the land devours its inhabitants. Yet there were people there. It devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in there are men of great stature. The land was so good, the people were growing great. Yet their perception was that the land devours its inhabitants. But it didn't end there. See what negative perception does. Verse 33. The giants. There we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers. We were like grasshoppers in our own side. For so we were in their side. Now hear this. It says we were like grasshoppers in our own side. First, their own perception of themselves diminished their ability. So because they saw diminished ability in them, that is how they saw it in other people. That's how they thought everybody else viewed them. We were like grasshoppers in their side, in our own side, and so we were. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So why was Caleb different? The first thing was that Caleb, he believed what God said. In Joshua chapter 14 verse 6, which we read before, he said this. Verse 6, it says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, you know the word which the Lord said. Which the Lord said. Whose report do you believe? You are facing contradictory things. Which one do you believe? Which one would you anchor your faith in? He believed what the Lord said. Caleb believed what the Lord said. Do you believe what people say, or do you believe what the Lord says? It is your perception, your confidence about what people's opinion of you, or is it about what God has said concerning you? Is your self-worth based on what people say about you, or what God has said about you? Joshua Caleb believed what the Lord said. So the first thing is communication with God. He was invested always to hear what does say the Lord. What God is saying about him. That's why even at 85, he still said, give me this mountain. I still have the strength to be able to take over the mountain. Why? Because he believed that the word God has said it, I have believed it, and everything is settled. I am not discounting the giants. I'm not discounting the mountains. I am going to go up. By God's grace, I will overcome. You know, some people magnify their weaknesses. Oh, pastor, you know, I fail again. Oh, this and that happened. Oh, pastor, you just don't know things are difficult. Nobody is saying things are not difficult. Nobody is saying it is easy to overcome. What I'm simply saying is, what are you magnifying? The difficulties? Are you telling your problems how big? Are you telling God how big the problems is? You see how some people go to God in prayers. Oh, Father, you know this. You know, as if God doesn't know. People who love sin, who love to compromise. You know, they go to God. Oh, Father, you know I'm weak. David is their favorite person that they use. He said, in sin, in iniquity was I conceived. You have refused to be able to curb your appetite, your sanctity for life. You've refused to be able to value things. And so you begin to magnify weakness. Oh, Pastor, I'm weak. Pastor, it happened again. It happened again. I hear you. But you've got to ask yourself a question. When are you going to grow? The Bible says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. Now that I've put away childish things. So for a long time as a believer in your life, you're still dealing with the elementaries, the basic things of life. When you just got born again, we were hearing you, yes, Pastor, I made a mistake, I failed. This happened, that happened. We prayed for you. For how long is it going to be? Am I talking to somebody here? When you were single, you were dealing with, all guarding you, dealing with sexual immorality, impurities. Now that you've become married, you're still dealing with the same things. So you see that your problem is beyond just the fact that you were single. Paul said it is better to be married than to burn with lust. That's true. It's good. Now that you are married, you still have problems. Maybe you are feeding yourself something. Are you hearing me, somebody? Maybe you're feeding yourself something. I'm talking here. There's a lot that people deal with. I was talking to a university student. One day he called me like, oh, Pastor, this happened, this happened. I said, just let's play through what you said, what you're saying to me. This was not, it was not a mistake. It was not. You made a plan, right? Like, well, I didn't plan it. I said, you didn't plan it, but yet you were able to bring money together. So the money just magically came together. You just magically found yourself there. There was a coordination. You just refuse to stop where you could say no. You just refuse to embrace self-control. So the first thing, like we talk about that, Caleb believed what the Lord said about him. He believed what the Lord said. That's why his life, his outcome became different. The second thing is that Caleb had convictions about God. He had a strong conviction about God. He had a strong conviction about God. You see, people believe success. People determine success by many standards. People want personal standards. And success is relative. What is success? It is relative. To some people, you are not successful. But to some other people, you are very successful. If you take the mayor of Tulsa and take him close to the governor, some people may look at the mayor like he's less successful. Are you hearing me, somebody? You take the Josh Kaiser or the Kaiser people here in Tulsa, you take them to philanthropies like, you know, the Gates or the... It looks like they are nothing. So success is relative if you just look at success. God says, by meditating in this, you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Good success is you accomplishing what God says you should accomplish, not what man thinks you should accomplish. Amen. Are you hearing me, somebody? I said good success is what is becoming the best of what God says you are. It's doing what God says you should do. Praise God. You know the parable of the talents, where some were given five, some were given two, some was given one. If the one who had one talent came back with two at the end, will he be successful? Absolutely. And he will have 100% success because he was faithful. If the one with five came back with 10, will he be successful? Absolutely. He will have 100%. The one with two came back with four, he has 100%. All of them are successful because they were faithful to the things that were committed to them. This thing where we compare ourselves to one another, the Bible says they comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. They are not wise. Don't benchmark yourself to people. Now, I'm not saying don't be inspired by people's stories and their achievements, but I'm saying that at the end of the day, your accountability is to God. The measure of your life is not what people say about you. It is what God says about you. So have a conviction. Caleb had a conviction about God. Praise God. The third thing, Caleb had a conviction, and I could give you scriptures. Of course, you look at it, Joshua chapter 14, verse 7. 14, verse 7, he says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and brought back word to him, as it was in my heart. As it was where? In my heart. I brought back word because I have conviction. They went out there, 12 of them. He had a conviction. Joshua had a conviction. The rest of the other 10 people had a conviction, but their convictions were negative. They instead of seeing what was promised by God, first, they didn't believe the word of God that God says they should take. And because they don't believe, the resultant effect was that they had negative conviction. In fact, they went there instead of being pumped up. They came back deflated. What convictions do you have? Do you have a conviction that you become what God says you should become? That you are an overcomer? That Christ in you is the hope of glory? That you are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and powers. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That by the grace of God you are what you are. Are you convicted? Do you have that conviction? The third thing Caleb had was he had a commitment to God. He had a commitment to God. Joshua chapter 14 verse number 8 says this. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me met the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. He had a commitment to God. The way you overcome mountains is be committed. Be committed. Be committed. Be committed to your growth process. Be committed to your walk with God. Have a commitment to God that every day, every week, every year of your life, you'll be a better version of you. There'll be an improvement of your life. That Lord, as long as you give me life, my impact will become greater by the day. Let me tell you this. Hear me. Consistency is better than inconsistent with people who do great things. If you can pray for 10 minutes a day consistently, you are better than somebody who will start the year praying for 3 hours a week. Then they go down to nothing for 2 weeks, then they come back 3 hours a week. Consistency. Consistency. So he had a commitment to God. He was committed wholeheartedly to follow the Lord. Now a lot of people's commitment to God has waned down because they have commitment to a lot of other things. We live in a time where there are a lot of things just competing for our attention. Your heart must be holy to God. Number four, he had confidence in God. He had confidence in God. Verse number nine. So Moses saw on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Now, because the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 40 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. He had confidence in God. He said, now the Lord has kept me ever since he spoke. As the Lord spoke, he had confidence in the word, in that what God has said will come to pass. What God has said about you will come to pass. Yes. Are you hearing me, somebody? Yes. He had confidence in God. What's your confidence in? In your education? In your training? In your ability? In your beauty? Can you imagine somebody whose confidence is in things that are forever changing? Changing forever. There's a man in Nigeria, I don't know if you've seen his funeral, he passed away, I think, in Las Vegas recently, Herbert Wigwe. A multi-millionaire. Billionaire. Well, millionaire, actually. Built a tremendous, massive empire of banks, international banks. If his confidence was in his accomplishments, it's nothing. He just built a retirement home. Was on a strip with his wife and his son. A man who controlled politicians. Politicians went to him for different things. But he could not control death. What's your confidence in? In those things? The things are temporary. We are here today and they are fleeting. If you're a young lady and your confidence is in your beauty, your facial makeup, be careful, let an accident not happen to you. Because you, all of a sudden, you will find yourself not appealing to anybody. Paul says, everything that I am, one thing I do, I forget the things which are behind, I press on to the mark of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Paul had accomplishments. He had a PhD in theology. He said, I count them as not that I may gain the excellency of what God had gained hold of me. Caleb had his confidence in God. You see, at this time, Caleb was 85 years old. Are you seeing that? He was 85. Verse 10, he was 85 years old. He had his confidence the same way he had it at 40. His confidence was not in his youth, in his age, in his ability. His confidence was in the God who called him. Praise God. So he knew that 45 years, the passage of time, 45 years, was not able to destroy the promise of God. Amen. Have your confidence in God. Amen. Amen. Number five. Have a few more and we'll close. Number five. Caleb had consistency for God. I'm going to touch on consistency a little bit. We have consistency for God. Hear this. 45 years had elapsed since God made mention of the mountaintop promise to God, to Caleb. The promise to him that the mountain will be given to you. Imagine you go to a place, you go spy down a land, right? Spy out a place. There are lush places, there are places that are good, well situated, well located. There are people who go to the valley of Eshcol because that's where they harvested the grapes, the clusters of grapes. There are people who just go to the place, lakeside houses. And you are one of the people who went there to spy. And your own promised land was the one that is a mountain. It's the one that just by the beginning of work, you still have to first plow down the mountain and you have to fight the enemies who are in that mountain. He was given that promise at 40. At 85, he still believed. His belief did not just come at 85. Because at 85, they went into the place. There were two of them who were survivors. It was Caleb and Joshua. They entered that promised land. You see, if Caleb wasn't consistent, he would have just gone to Joshua and said, you know, bro, I'm 85 right now. You know, you and I, we got into this place. I don't have energy anymore. Just look for a good place. Just give it to me. Just a place where I won't suffer. I won't have to stress. No, he went. He said, and now. And when? Now. Now is talking to you about consistency over time. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. So even when they were in the wilderness, he had consistency. You see, like I said again before, I've seen a lot of believers. Their excitement, their jubilation is when things are happening. When nothing is happening, are you still excited for God? When God has not done any new thing for you, do you still hold on to him? I told you I just came back from Nigeria. I was at a conference where prayers, the kind of prayers I saw. But then I see people when they come here, they pray, oh Lord, give me visa. If I get a visa, I go to America, I will serve you for the rest of my life. Their service to God is by leap. I've seen people who've come here, oh God, I could tell you stories. I've seen people who've come here, gone to Bible school. Today, they don't go to church. Today, they are not consistent with church. Church has become an option. Why? Because their belief in God was not for God. It was for what God can do for them. Now behold. Consistency. They were in the wilderness. He believed. While the other people murmured and complained, he believed. While they delayed and every person within his age group died, he believed. Consistency. While his age increased, he believed. When he became 85, he still believed. He said, as it was, as the Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Let's go to verse 11. 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war. For war. Both for going out and for coming in. When God's promises in your life delays, does your strength fail? The Bible says hope defers, make the heart sick. That's true. But when your heart is sick, do you encourage yourself in the Lord? As David encouraged himself in the Lord and overcame and overcome. Caleb had to overcome a lot of things. He had to overcome grasshoppers. He had to overcome giants. He had to overcome gray hair. He had to overcome age. He had to overcome negativity. And maybe if his wife was there, his wife might have to tell him, bro, Caleb, you know, you're old. He had to overcome. There may be his friends too were telling him, his children were telling him, Daddy, if you start now at 85, what are we going to inherit? He had to overcome that. Say to your neighbor, I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
Two more things. We close. While Caleb was different, he had a conquering spirit through God. In verse 12, he says to Joshua, he says, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. And it may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. His conquering was not just in his strength, but it was through God. Hear what Apostle Paul says. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Then he says this, but his grace towards me was not in vain, for I labored more than them all. Don't celebrate grace and just sit down. Don't just hear promises and God give a prophetic word. You just go sit down, fold your arms and sit down. God is not a magic genie. He's not just going to come do it for you. God will not do for you the things he has given you the ability to do. And when you are doing it with your ability, don't trust in your ability. Let me say this to you. Even though you have the greatest of ability, depend on God as if you don't have any ability. And when you go to do as if there is no grace. And you will see the natural and his super comes together and supernatural results will manifest. Amen. Finally, it's important. Caleb was not doing it just for himself, but he did it so that he can become a channel for God. That he can become a channel for God. Verse 18 through 19 of Joshua chapter 15. Verse 18 through 19 of Joshua chapter 15. Hear what it says. Now it was so when she came to him that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? She answered, give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Did you see that? You know, we're reading verse 14, right? We're reading chapter 14. Now you go through chapter 14 and you go through chapter 15 and you see what verse 18 of chapter 15 says, and verse 19 it says, now it was so when she came to him, he had accomplished, he had taken over the mountain, and others began now to come to him. Now it was so when she came to him that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? The things that God has blessed you with, has it ever occurred to you that some people around you could be beneficiaries of it? The things that you have freely received from God, freely you receive, freely you give. Has it ever occurred to you that you could also be a channel of blessing to the people around you, to the church where you attend, to the city where you are, to the community in which you belong? Or you just want to care about me, myself, and I? Give me. My name is Jimmy. Lord, I pray for me. I pray for my family. I pray for my children. I pray for my father, my mother, nobody else. That's not why God blessed you. That's not why God preserved you. That's not why God has empowered you. He wants you to be a channel for his glory. Amen. I said he wants you to be a channel for his glory. That's not why God saved you. He saved you out of darkness into his marvelous light that you may show forth his praise. He didn't save you so you can keep it to yourself. You're a Christian and people are surprised that you're a Christian. They only see you in church and say, oh, so you're a Christian too. There's a problem with that. Acts chapter 17 talks about Paul. That when he went to a city, they said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. His Christianity was contagious. When he went to place, everybody knew that if I stay around this guy, I will be infected by what he carries. God didn't save you for yourself. He didn't save you just so that you can go to heaven. If that was the reason why, knowing you and I, knowing our weaknesses and our limitations, knowing that we will sin even after salvation, he would have knocked us off when we were saved. He saved us and allowed us to be here, that we may be channels of his blessing. Remember, Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the city that is set upon the hill, which cannot be hidden. You are the city which is set upon the hill, which cannot be hidden. You are the salt of the earth. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it under the bushel, but they set it on the mountain that it may bring light. Hallelujah. Do you believe that you are the light of the world? Do you believe that you are an overcomer? Do you believe that you can overtake everything that is set before you? Rise with me and say, Lord, I am available for your glory. Use me, O God, to make positive impact on earth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know it was daylight savings and time was changing. And yes, like I said again, there's a lot of people who are not in church. But for some of you, who knew? Did you text your friend and say, hey, remember, sleep early so that I can get to church today on time? That's you being a positive impact in the lives of people. You say, well, it's just so that they can come to church. No. They are not coming to church for me. I want to be used by you. Like I told you, if you're not sold out for God, you have sold him out. Sold out for God. And to be sold out to God doesn't mean that you will just be doing everything church, church, church. No, whatever you are, in whatever arena you find yourself, you can be an instrument. You can be an instrument, a vessel in his hands. Just lift up your voice for me. Let's speak to God. These things that happened to them happened for our admonishment. It was written for our admonishment. They were our examples. Lord, as Caleb and Joshua were. Lord, as we've seen from scripture about others whom you use. Help me, O God, to be one who is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be one who is not confident in myself, in my abilities. To be one who doesn't trust in the arm of the flesh, because it's a curse. It's anyone who put their trust in the arm of the flesh. To be one who is not proud and arrogant because of the things that you have given me, or because of the abilities that you have given me. To be one who continually depends on you. Lord, help me. Help me, oh God, to be one who brings about positive impact and positive change on the earth. Help me that those around me will feel my presence, will feel your presence in me. That my family will feel, will know the difference of salvation. That my society, my community will see, will be beneficiaries of your impact in my life. Help me to love you. Not just for what you do for me, but for who you are to me. But above all, help me to be a channel for your glory. A channel for your glory. A channel for your glory. For your glory. For your glory. Thank you, Lord. Wesley said, I want us to sing a blessing. You guys come, let's. This is just a dedication to God. This is not a new song. It was not written yesterday or 2 days ago. It was written not too long. You were born. William McDowell, I surrender all to you, withholding nothing. Know it. You know it. Withholding nothing. Let this be a wake up. Let me say this to you. Christianity is not an option. You see, when you look at, hear me, when you look at the Muslims, you look at other people whom we think that they don't have the right belief. There is nothing that they stand to lose. For a person to be a suicide bomber, they have family like you do, they have children that they love, have spouses that they love. They even have money. They have assets. For them to be willing to die for a cause that they believe is because they are sold out. You know, the late Herbert Wigaway, when you listen to his testimonies, churches he built, Christians, I mean, he was a solid Christian, solid committed to his church. That's why you saw Muslims wept at his. They went to church because his life had that kind of draw. They didn't end in one part. They were able to follow all through till the end because there was a surrender to God. In a society where there is classism, I heard even his driver spoke well of him. Withholding nothing. If you're withholding something, you cannot be a blessing. You cannot be used by God. You're withholding something. God doesn't want part of your life. He wants all of it. Everything. If it's a mountain that he gives you, he wants you to be able to embrace it. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender all. In your life,
everything I give,
everything
I give to you, withholding nothing.
Jesus, we surrender everything to you. You are not just the Savior of our lives, but we want you to be Lord of it all. That you lord it over us, over every aspect, every nook and every cranny, that you invade even our privacies, that there is no room that we withhold from you, no aspect of our lives that is set apart for you not to touch. We yield everything to you, willingly and voluntarily. We come to you, the one who gave it all. You gave up your life for our lives, so that we should live no longer for ourselves, but for you. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, those who are here present, those who are watching online, and those who will watch the rebroadcast of this service, that by your spirit, by your presence, and by your power, you will touch us to the core of who we are. And you will help us by your grace and by your strength, that where we are weak, we'll become strong for you. And that we will live not for ourselves, but we will bring glory to you. That everywhere we go, the knowledge of you will cover the earth like the waters covers the sea. In the name of Jesus Christ. Like the first century believers who turned the world upside down, who so changed the world that the political class had to come to the church, that Lord, we would also turn our world upside down. That our saltiness will not lose its flavor. That our light will shine brighter. Even as the darkness increases, we will shine brighter. Never has light been overcome by darkness. Never has light been diminished by darkness. Rather, light is magnified by darkness. Lord, magnify the light of our lives. And take glory and honor in everything we do and in everything we say. From this day forward and forevermore. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. If you're watching online and you have never made a commitment to Jesus, to give your life to Him, to invite Him to be the Lord of your life, to take over, that's a beginning. That's just the first step in your relationship, in your walk with Him. I want to invite you to make a commitment to Him now, where you are. You can write to us online, and we will gladly pray for you. If you need a Bible, write to us online. If you're somewhere within North America, we'll mail it to you free of charge. And then look for Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-practicing church and get plugged in there. And grow together for believers. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and cause His countenance to shine upon you. May He give you peace in all your ways. In your going out and in your coming in, you are blessed. You are blessed in the city. You are blessed in the field. You are blessed in your finances. In the name of Jesus. Your children are blessed and preserved. Your jobs are blessed. In the name of Jesus. Everything that concerns you is blessed. As the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord make it rich, and He add no sorrow to it. May sorrow be far away from your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will go from grace to grace and from glory to glory. You will expand to the left, to the right, to the front, and to the back. In the name of Jesus Christ. This year you will enjoy the goodness of God in the land of the living. You will be an extension of His glory. You will be an example of His presence in the name of Jesus. Those who encounter you will encounter God. They will encounter Jesus, because your life will be so changed that men, when they see you, they will know that you have been with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.